Lord, I pray today for all the fathers in our lives. And we thank our Heavenly Father, first of all, being the Father of lights. And we give you all the praise and glory. We thank you for the fathers that are in our lives as well. Some of us, our fathers are no longer living, but they left a landmark. And some still have their fathers to enjoy with them today. And some may not know their fathers. Well, we'll pray for all. May everyone know and have you as their Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. Even as it is written, you know, that we all have one Father in heaven. Father, so Lord, we bless everyone today. Praise God. And as we look into the Father's heart this morning, may there be a blessing to everyone that will listen in. Glory to God. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, I want to talk about the Father's heart this morning. And especially our Father in heaven is the one I want to talk about. There are many, many ways in which Jesus tried to connect the people with God. And he would always say, your Heavenly Father. Because people didn't always think of God as their Heavenly Father until Jesus came. Maybe one or two places in the Bible where it says, where it called him Father. You know, Isaiah thought of him that way. So you are indeed our Father. You know, but most of the time, you know, the people just related to God as some distant God, some God to be feared because of all of the commandments and different things like that. The people even thought that his voice was, you know, a bit too terrifying, you know, because when he appeared, there was thunders and lightnings and what have you. And the people, they removed afar off. They didn't want any part of that. They were frightened even at the presence of the Lord. And, but is that really, you know, what the kind of relationship that God wants to have with his children? I mean, a loving father, he wants the children to be scared of him and not to be able to come into his embrace. Of course not. You know, so when Jesus came, he began to bridge that gap. You know, and he taught the people, look, your Father in heaven knows what needs you already have. Your Father in heaven, I mean, always saying it, even when he gave a rebuke, even when he gave correction, he always talked about Father. Even when he was talking about, you know, forgiving one another and so forth, he said, well, neither we, your Father in heaven. I mean, always referring to their Father in heaven. When they came to him and said, teach us how to pray. He said, well, this is how you pray. Our Father who art in heaven. I mean, so on and on and on, he always tried to connect people back to God, you know, and he knew that people didn't have that relationship that they should have had with God. So he always tried to redirect. Well, ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren, let me share with you something that is in the heart of the Father for all his children today. You know, that's what I'm going to take a few minutes and share that with us. What is in the heart of the Father, our Heavenly Father, towards his children? You know, for the Lord, our Father, who is in heaven, that's capital L-O-R-D, it's every day that is his day. But we were created for his pleasure. We were created to worship him. You know, but, you know, today I want to focus on a personal relationship in a different way. You know, not thinking of him as the object of our worship, the object of our praise, the object of our, even our heart's desires towards him. The real longing in the soul is for him. You know, not thinking that way today, but just thinking of him as our heavenly father, connecting with him in that way. I mean, and then seeing what his heart shows towards us and the things that Jesus would talk about. I'm going to start here. One verse that tells it all, that wraps up everything. Glory to God. It just seems that it is the one thing that Jesus wanted to communicate. Well, it's many things that he wanted to communicate, but he wrapped it up. I mean, he started to tell the people, he said, look, you know, all the things that we chase after, like, well, what shall we eat? What shall we wear? What shall we do this and that? I mean, all these things. He talked, the Gospels recorded this teaching in different places, but I want to read the one out of Luke chapter 12. We know it's also in Matthew chapter 6. In fact, very extensively, he talked about it in Matthew chapter 6, trying to build a dependency for us to have a dependency in an absolute confidence in our Heavenly Father, that not only does he know that we need, you know, he knows us by the way that he's taking care of the nature around us, that he will take care of us as well. Jesus will talk about the ravens. We'll talk about even, you know, the grass in the field, you know, if the lilies of the valley and so forth. And if the Father could take care of them, well, ye are of more value than all these things. Talk about sparrows and so on. You know, so, but I want to read the version in Luke chapter 12 because of one particular verse in verse 32 that I want to get to. But let me read this part in Luke chapter 12. You know, it said, take no thought, starting at verse 22. Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse for barn. But yet God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, by taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? I mean, can you add an inch? Can you add something to your stature just by thinking about it? If you then be not able to do that which is least, why take you any thought for the rest? You can't even do the least thing. What else are you going to do? Consider the lilies, he said. How they grow. They toil not. They spin not, and yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more shall he clothe you, O ye of little faith? Well, you know, and then he goes on to say, Seek not ye what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. Your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But seek ye rather the kingdom of God. And in the one version in Matthew it adds, and his righteousness. And he said, look, all these things shall be added unto you. Now, verse 32 is the one that I want to go to this morning. Luke 12 and 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And so that's how Jesus wrapped up that lesson of directing them to trust in the goodness and kindness of the Father. So let's look at the Father's heart this morning towards us. What did Jesus mean by saying, fear not, little flock? It is the Father's because it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I mean, this is the thing that really pleases him, you know, gives him joy to give you that kingdom. What is the kingdom? You know, why would he want to give it to you? And why is this so much in his heart? Well, let's take a look at the Father's heart this morning as we think of Father's Day. First, let me talk about we who are natural fathers. You know, Jesus, you know, taught this example as well. He said, look, ye who are natural fathers, ye know how to give good gifts to your children. And if your child should come to you and ask you for bread, would you give him a stone? And if he came to you to ask you for an egg, would you give him a scorpion instead? You know, I mean, a scorpion would sting him and bite him. And if he came to you to ask you for a fish, would you give him a snake? Would you put a viper in his hands when he's asking for fish? And Jesus said, well, you wouldn't do it. And if by you who by nature, you know, are wicked, you know how to do and give good gifts to your children and be protective of them, how much more your Father who is in heaven. So, I mean, Jesus was always trying to direct, you know, the attention of his disciples and the people around him to get into that relationship of seeing God as our Father. And I want to impress that on us today. Today, think of him as your Father. I mean, don't even think of him as God Almighty. We know he's God Almighty, okay? But just think of him as your Heavenly Father today. As a matter of fact, you know, Jesus, we know that he was the only begotten Son of God. And he showed us the relationship, how to have complete dependence upon the Father, how he would do nothing except the first the Father directed him so, showed to him what to do. And every moment of his life, he trusted and engaged with the Father. And showing us same thing. You know, we need to have that relationship with the Father. Sometimes, many of us, that relationship is mechanical, or even artificial, or even superficial, or even at the surface level. But it's not deeply, we're not deeply connected to the Father, you know, but, you know, let's see his heart towards us today. There are many parables that Jesus told that would help us to see the heart of the Father. You know, and there are many things he also said and all the things that he pointed people towards. But I want to talk for just a few minutes about this business of him giving us the kingdom. Well, he can't give us something that we already have. You know, and he can't give us something that he didn't have. So by Jesus saying that, don't be afraid, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And prior to that, he said, seek his kingdom first. Well, if you seek the kingdom, Jesus said he will give it to you. But what is the kingdom? What are you seeking? And what do you hope to find? You know, and you know, if you already have it, why would he give it to you? So we didn't have it, or at least at the time that Jesus made this statement, they didn't have it. But what is the kingdom that he wants to give to us? And why would it be, you know, so important that he wanted to give it to us? Well, we covered the benefits of the kingdom multiple times, you know, in our previous lessons. So I won't go too deeply into that today, but only to say that the kingdom of which God himself is king, and he has put Christ to inherit it all, and eventually Christ will be the one bodily that will sit over that kingdom, and he inviting us to sit with him in that kingdom. I mean, in fact, he said it in many places. You know, Revelation 3 and 21. He that overcometh, you know, shall sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and I'm set with my Father in his throne. I mean, on and on and on, he would say things like this. He wants us to be with him. He said, look, Father, that they may be with me where I am. You know, and, you know, the glory that you gave me from the beginning, I have given to them. And he wants to share with us this glory. And only he, at the time that he was saying these things, knew what the kingdom looked like. Most people didn't. But he said, look, there is something that the Father wants to gift to you. You know, he wants to gift it to you. Give it to you, but I call it a gifting. It's a gifting. And, you know, that's some of the things that I want to talk to us today about. When Jesus was here upon the earth, he represented the Father in so many ways. And there are some of the ways we didn't even, you know, we didn't understand, you know, but he always deferred to the Father and always pointed to the Father. And even, you know, not only did he teach the disciples to pray toward the Father, he himself, you know, gave examples of how to pray toward the Father. He would lift up his eyes and he would pray and he would tell the people, look, I came from my Father and I'm going back to the Father. And, you know, the Father has given me commandment. What was the commandment of the Father? You know, that of all the people that he has given me, I should lose none of them. And I should raise them up on the last day. And this is the commandment that the Father has given me. You know, that as the Father has life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have life in himself. And to give the same life to all those who come to him. I mean, this is the thing. We're just in his mind. All the time, my meat is to do the will of my Father who sent me and to finish his work. On and on and on. You know, you can find, you know, Jesus's focus, John chapter 4 and 34. See where he focused on doing his Father's will. He even said, my meat is to do my Father's will. Meat, that's his food. You know, at that time in particular, in John chapter 4, the disciples had gone to the town to look for food because he was hungry. And so they were going to go get food and all of them would sit down and eat. You know, but before they came, Jesus had the encounter with the woman at the well. You know, and by the time they came, he was no longer hungry. And they said, is anybody bringing food? And he was explaining to them that, look, I have food that you know nothing about. You know, when I see someone come back to the Father, that's food enough for me. You know, and you know, the things that the Father has sent me to do, that's doing the Father's will is my food. And when I do it, you know, I'm already satisfied. You know, and he said, look, not only am I going to do that, my purpose is to finish his work that he has sent me to do. Hallelujah. You know, so, you know, and part of this work, you know, it wasn't just to go and die on the cross. I mean, that was a significant portion of the work because it was his death that purchased back everything that had been stolen or lost, which the devil said, all these things are delivered unto me. And Jesus said, the life that I give, ransom that I pay for the world is the my life that I will give as the ransom to get the world back. You know, so he had a plan to do it, was in the Father's mind, and he would, he would carry it out. Now, in the book of Luke chapter 22 and verse 29, I want to focus just for a bit on not only the intention of the Father to give us the kingdom, what Jesus actually said about us getting the kingdom. He said in Luke 22 and verse 29, he said, I appoint unto you a kingdom, even as my Father has appointed unto me. Basically, I confer upon you the kingdom. Hallelujah. Now, without going too deep into all the things that the kingdom represents, some of which we have talked about in the past, I want us to just consider today the intention of the Father to give us the kingdom. This kingdom, for now, let's say, well, whatever it is, let's just say we don't know what it is, but whatever it is in this kingdom that was the Father's good pleasure to give to us, and which Jesus also said, I confer unto you that kingdom even as my Father conferred it to me. It was important enough for Jesus to call it the Father's good pleasure. So on such a day as this, when celebrating Father's Day, I want us to reconnect with our Heavenly Father. And Jesus tried to introduce him in a different light and said, look, yes, you did have natural fathers, but don't even look at those ones as your real father. You have one Father in heaven. He's your real Father. Well, that's hard for people to comprehend. Sometimes it's hard to wrap our mind around that, because today we celebrate the fathers that we know, and some people are saddened that they don't know their real father, their biological father, and they never did. And so there will be sadness in some places today. And every time people celebrate these good things, Mother's Day, Father's Day, Family Day, Thanksgiving Day, this and that, there's some sadness and some sorrow in some places where that connection has been broken. Well, Jesus wants to reconnect us to the Father. So today, as we celebrate Father's Day, and as you think of the fathers in your lives, think of this, our Heavenly Father, as also being in your life, and He wanting us to reconnect with Him. As Jesus, His intention is to reconnect us back to the Father. Well, let's take a look at briefly some of the things that I said about this kingdom that He will give us. I won't get too deep into it. We covered it at different times before. But, I do want to talk about it briefly, because that's what Jesus said the Father wants to give us. And since we're talking about Father's Day, well, let's take a look at, what it is, when it will be, or how it will be. A good place to start would be Daniel chapter 2, of which some of you may have heard me, talk about from time to time. The dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, which he couldn't even remember, was terrifying to him. And the magicians, soothsayers, the Chaldeans, and everybody, they couldn't tell the dream. That was an unknown thing to ask. You tell us the dream, we'll tell you the interpretation. How in the world are we going to tell you what dream you dreamt? Tell us the dream, and we'll tell you the interpretation. And he said, no, because you want to buy yourselves time, because you know that the thing's come from me. If you don't tell me the dream, I'm going to have all of you killed. And the people said, there is not a king or anywhere that demands such a thing from people. You know, just tell us the dream and we'll tell you. Well, Daniel and his companions, they prayed because they were going to be killed along with the wise men. And the Lord was favorable to Daniel. And not only did Daniel have the interpretation, Daniel redreamt the dream. That's an amazing thing in that whole Bible. I mean, you dream somebody else's dream? My goodness. So the Lord gave Daniel the dream. And he said, this is the dream. And we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 36. And he began to describe, you know, he used that great, terrible, you know, figure that Nebuchadnezzar had and all the various parts of the body down to the toes. And he described it and represented it as various kingdoms that will come and go and so on and so forth. You know, then he come down to it, to this, and said in verse 44, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. So here we are hearing about that kingdom. It will set up a kingdom. Because now people understand kingdoms and so forth. You know, Nebuchadnezzar himself was a king, you know, and so on and so on. You know, so God will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. That kingdom shall not be left to other people. You know, it's going to be given to some people, of which Jesus will talk about later. But it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms. And it shall stand forever. Now, the people that put their trust in the kingdoms of this world, they are in for a big disappointment. Because the kingdoms of this world will not last forever. But they will be broken in pieces by the kingdom that God will set up. In the days of these kings, he said he will set up a kingdom. You know, and that kingdom will not be left to other people. It's a chosen people that he will give it to. And for as much as thou sawest that the stone, there was a stone he saw in that dream that was cut out of mountain with our hands, and that he break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, the gold. The great God has made known to the king what shall come hereafter. This is it, he said. The dream is certain and the interpretation is sure. Hallelujah. So, you know, he told him. And so we see here that there was a kingdom coming. That kingdom God would be king in it. And Christ said, I appoint unto you kingdom, a kingdom just like my Father appointed to me. And in many other places, he talks about, you know, this same kingdom. Daniel chapter 7, for instance, and verse 13. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came in the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days. And they brought him near him. And there was given unto him dominion and glory and a kingdom. Remember, it was given to him. Jesus himself related the same thing. Say, God gave me a kingdom. I'm going to give it to you as well. But given to him a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that we shall not be destroyed. You know, so he talked about, you know, and when he was looking at this thing, you know, he said, well, what does this thing mean? It troubled him in his head. So he said, look, one of them came down to me and told me the interpretation of the things. And it gave him, you know, say, well, all these beasts and so on that you see, they are also kingdoms and so on. But here's where we are interested in today. Daniel 7 and 18. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Wow. And then he saw some other things also. He saw the, you know, little horn making war with the saints and prevailing for a time. And he said, until the Ancient of Days came, in verse 22, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. So there is coming a time, you know, there's coming a time when the saints will possess the kingdom. But before they physically do that, well, this great terror that will rise at the end of the age, he will wear them out, he said. Wear out the saints of the Most High. He would think to change times and laws. Verse 25. And he would think to do all of these things, and he would do it for 3.5 years, he said. A time and times and the dividing of time. But the judgment shall sit, and they take away his dominion, consume it to the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given. That's right. Now that's under the whole heaven. Everything that's under heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion, all dominions, shall serve and obey him. And we shall sit with him, even, you know, in the final analysis, you know, that's how it will be. And fast forward to the very end of it all, in Revelation 21 and verse 7, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let's put it this way. Today, think of all the good things that might be in that kingdom. You know, for the ransom of the Lord shall return with everlasting joy, you know, shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. And in that place, finally, you know, there shall be no, you know, night, and there be no day. And that's how, you know, time ceases. The only way you measure time is the evening and the morning or the first day. And then another evening and the morning was the first or the second day, and so on and so forth. You know, so there has to be the time of darkness and the time of light to measure a day. But when you take away the darkness and it is light all the time, and when you don't even need the sun and the moon anymore, but the lamp, the glory of the lamp will be the light of the thing, the place, then there is no more night, there is no more darkness. The gates, they will no longer need to be shut by night because there is no night there. If there is no night, then it's always light. It's always day. And you can't, there's no end to the day. So from that point on, it's forever. You know, for there to be, you know, seasons and times, there must be nights and days. Well, if you remove one of those elements, which is the darkness, then only the light remains. And there is no more. You can't calculate time anymore because you don't know the end of it. And so it's forever, you know, after that. And just think of all the things that he promised hereafter. But also here now, see, here now, what are the things that Jesus promising us? Well, when he was talking in Matthew chapter 6 and talking in Luke chapter 12, these things we read, these things were not, you know, abstract things in heaven. He was talking about what you shall eat, what you shall drink, where you shall live, you know, what you shall be clothed with. So he was really talking about provision for you now. So look at the things around you. Look at the ravens. Look at the, you know, the lilies. I mean, see how God takes care of them. I mean, the ravens, he said, the sparrows are so cheap, it's buy two, get one free. You know, that's what Jesus said. He said, but look, your heavenly Father knows that you are more of more value than these things. So he was talking really of our life now. I mean, there's a lot of things, other things promised later on, but right now, you know, it is his good pleasure to give us a pleasant life right now. Abundant life, actually, is how Jesus called it. So the enemy likes to come in, steal, kill, destroy you. Steal your joy, kill your dreams, destroy your life. But I'm coming in to give you life, you know, the measure of life that is beyond what you can imagine. It's called abundant life. You know, not just barely enough, but abundant. And so all the things that you need, it is the Heavenly Father. It is your Heavenly Father's good pleasure to give them to you, including your health, including your wellness, including your happiness, including stability, quietness, peace. I mean, did you know that even Jesus purchased our peace? You know, some people think that, you know, everybody knows that Jesus purchased our healing, but we didn't realize that he also purchased our peace with all the things that they put upon him, the beatings. Because when every time we think of his stripes, we're always thinking of our healing. But the same verse that talks about that also talks about, you know, that he was beaten up for our peace, you know. Let's read Isaiah chapter 53 and consider, you know, verses 5 and 6. Isaiah introducing the things that, you know, Christ would do. And of course, you know, many of us know these scriptures and we quote these scriptures all the time. But let's consider this today. You know, I read it from verse 4 of Isaiah 53. Surely he has borne our griefs. And that's surely. And carried away our sorrows. We did esteem him smitten and stricken of God and afflicted. But he was wounded. Hallelujah. So, you know, let's just look at all the things that he did for us. Wounded for our transgressions. Bruised for our iniquities. Well, we know that, you know, most people remember that when they think about him. But this part we forget. We forget that the chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. We always seem to forget that, and we jump to, by his stripes we are healed. But we forget the fact that, look, he was beaten, bruised, not only for your sins, not only for your iniquities, and not only for your healing, but for your peace, that you might even have peace. Well, you're not going to have peace if you're running from pillar to post over your sickness and this and so forth. I mean, things are happening in the life of your children and you are confused, you know, and all of that, you know, and everything is just not going right. You won't have peace. But he purchased our peace. He purchased it too. And it is so good to know that he did that for us. Now, all those things are wrapped into the package that Jesus came to deliver. Glory to God. Now, the God or the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. Well, that's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 16. Not only will he give you peace always, but by all means. You know, well, he's already paid the means for it. So every good thing that you can think of, every good and perfect gift you can think of that's wrapped up in the kingdom, it is the Father's good pleasure to give it to you. And that's the heart of the Father to you today. You know, so as we celebrate Father's Day, let's just think of, I mean, most of the time on Father's Day, we are giving gifts to our earthly fathers and thanking them for, you know, the role they've played in our lives and so on. And we should do that. But in addition, today, I want you to think of your Heavenly Father. And in reverse, think of what he's giving to us. You know, not just one time, but he continues to give to us. He continues to dish it out. I mean, so we are actually receiving rather than giving to God on a day such as this. But what will we do in return? Well, we give him our praise. You know, we give him the honor. We give him the glory. We say unto him, for thine is thy kingdom, O Lord, the power and the glory. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. And thou, you know, are exalted as head over all. Both riches, we tell him, and honor come from thee. And thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power and might. And in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. And we tell him all these great things. It is in your hand to lift me up. It is in your hand to give me the kingdom, to confer unto me the kingdom, just like you said. Now therefore, O Lord, my Father, I thank you and I praise your glorious name. And we give him thanks and we give him praise today. So I want to give a shout out to the Lord on behalf of every one of us for all the great things that he has done for us. And I say, well, you know, it's always a happy Father's Day for the Lord. You know, the only thing that doesn't make him happy, you know, is when we don't do his will. But if you want to really make him happy, then do his will. You know, one man came to Jesus. He said, look, what might I do that I might be do the works of God? Jesus said, well, this is the works of God, that you might believe on him whom he has sent. You know, it's that simple. Believe his word, you know, and do he, you know, that's how we do his will. You want to really make your Father happy? You want to give him a happy Father's Day today? Well, believe him. You know, when the people don't believe him, it actually distresses him. You know, he was so saddened by the people of Israel that they wouldn't believe him. And finally he said, look, I've had it to hear with them. How many times, you know, are they going to do this? You know, I mean, how many times, you know, all the things that I keep doing for them, how many times will they continue to disbelieve me and dishonor me, you know, and so forth. So when we disbelieve him, we dishonor him, you know, and when we take his word lightly, we dishonor him. But when we believe all the things that he has said to us and all the things that he has conveyed to us, then, you know, he rejoices. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save and he will rejoice over thee with joy. That's your heavenly Father. Zephaniah 3:17. He will rest in his love and he will joy over you with singing. Well, he will not joy when we are not reflecting his character. He will joy over us when we are thinking like him, when we are looking like him, and we are acting like him. He looked at Jesus and he saw that Jesus was 100% obedient to the will of the Father. Jesus gave up all. And so the Father looked at him coming out of the water, being baptized of John the Baptist, not having recorded any miracles that we know of. But yet the Father looked at him and said, wow, this is my beloved son. I'm happy. You know, my heart is full of joy. I'm looking at him. I'm happy. So I am going to exalt him above everything else and everyone else. He made the Father happy because whatever the Father said, he did. Whatever the Father showed him, that was the thing he did. And he gave all the glory to the Father. So how do we give God a happy Father's Day today? You know, first, recognize that he is your heavenly Father. Reconnect with him that way. You know, if you've lost that oneness and that tightness with him like that, well, let's reconnect, you know, the heart of the Father towards, you know, the story of the prodigal son, you know, in Luke 15. That father, he was always on the lookout. Always. He never gave up on that son. In fact, you know, he would ask Sarah, ask the older brother, have you heard from your brother? He said, who? The guy didn't care anything about him. The man was always there. You know, all of these things that were not told in the story, but read between the lines. I always love to read between the lines when I read stories in the Bible. Because I guarantee you, that man didn't just sit down all day long, just like that. No, was always asking around, sending, hey, have you guys heard from this my son? You know, and he probably sent people out to go look for him too, you know, because Jesus said, look, when one sheep goes from the fold or the flock, the shepherd will go after him. So the father probably sent message looking for this man, but not knowing where he went, you know, and he was always on the lookout, always thinking, always looking out for him. I mean, looking out to see if he would show up. And so the day that the lost son returned, the father was the first to see him afar off because he was always on the lookout. Maybe today is the day my son will return. And then he would go, the man didn't return. And then the next day he's out there again looking. Maybe he'll return today. And so one day the guy did return. Glory to God. So our Heavenly Father is the same way. There is joy, we're told, when we reconnect with him like that. Not only his joy, but even his angels rejoice along with him. You know, I mean, when God throws a celebration, all the angels come and rejoice with him. They say, hey, you know, God is happy. Let's all rejoice. Somebody came home. And they all rejoice in heaven. There's joy in heaven when one person reconnects with their Father. Even those of us who have received that relationship and are enjoying it, sometimes we disconnect. We are unplugged from the power source. And he's still not happy. So plug in that, you know, power, plug into the power source again today. Reconnect with him. That's what gives him pleasure. And he joys over us. And then as you're doing that, remember the things that he's freely offering us, that we may know the things that are freely given us of God. Well, how do you know that? Read the scriptures. Read those promises. Those promises even help you to become partakers of his own divine nature. Because he promised incredible things. And we've been teaching how to use those promises to attain the things that we are asking of him. So ladies and gentlemen, that's our room today. I'm going to invite you to come and give your shout out to any father in your life, whether your natural fathers, the natural fathers in your families, or even your heavenly father. Wow. Do you know how many sons and daughters God actually has? I mean, can you tell the number? Well, I'll tell you, you know, how to count his sons and daughters. You come out and look at the stars of heaven, if you can count them. You go to the, if you have a beach or somewhere, you go to the seashore and see if you can count the grain of sand that's there. That's incredible. That's how his children are. I mean, he has so many children. Can you imagine if all the children of God today would reconnect with him and just bless him? Would you know how much joy that's going to bring? I mean, my grandkids came around yesterday. They're coming back again today. You know, and I mean, it's just so much joy. And I have my children around, my grandkids and all these things. It just fills your heart with so much joy. Do you know how much joy you can give the Lord by just reconnecting with him in his presence, just loving on him? Not only when we need anything from him. He's already giving us the kingdom. So our Father's good pleasure to give it to you. And that was 2,000 years ago that Jesus made that statement. He already did it. You know, but today, don't worry about that one. I said all of that just for you to know all that he has done. Today, give back to him what is due to him. Let's give back. The connection is what he wants, really. I mean, what are you going to give to God? Can you give God money? Gang it. Said, a cattle on 1,000 hills are mine. If I were hungry, would I even tell you? Are you the one that's going to feed me? God said, no, you know, but he wants your soul. Hallelujah. You know, he wants that void. You know, he's the only one that can feel it. That thing in your soul that's longing for something, you know, the soul doesn't really know what it's longing for, many times, but it is that connection with God. When the power source has been, when the thing, your laptop or whatever has been disconnected from that power source and it's running on its own charge, enough time passes, that thing begins to dim and dim and dim and eventually will die. So you got to reconnect, plug it back in. So let's reconnect with him today. Hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, let's come into his presence and reconnect with him. And throughout the day, as you meditate on Father's Day, as you celebrate our physical fathers that's around us, let's celebrate our reconnection with our Heavenly Father as well. That's the thing that makes him joy over us with joy. You know, when we come around him like that, and that's in the Father's heart. It's just so thrilling to the Father to see his children and doesn't want to see them like children forever. When you see them grow up, when they start to look like you, start to talk like you, start to act like you, start to think like you, say, yeah, that's my boy. Woo-hoo. You say, see my guy. That's my guy. That's what God says. Say, hey, behold my beloved son, you know, in whom I am well pleased. That was his good pleasure. Jesus was the epitome of God's good pleasure. And we can be the same way by the help of the Holy Spirit. That's emboldening us to give God that joy. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you today for, on behalf of myself and everyone that's in this room and all around this world, across this great nation and around the world. Glory to God. And all the people down through the ages who have known the name of the Lord and who have developed a relationship with you, you know, past and present and even future yet to come. You know, we raise our praise, our glory and honor to you today on this day called Father's Day here in the United States and around the world. People know it for you, Lord, being our Father, teaching us how to connect with our Heavenly Father. We reconnect with you today. We give you the one and only highest place in our hearts, our chief joy. Let our chief joy be focused on you, that we may give you that pleasure. We know it's already your pleasure. Give us the kingdom, which you did. You know, the king, Jesus said, a man, the kingdom of God is like a man that, you know, a king that went to possess a kingdom. And we know that he did possess it. So, Lord, we thank you. But here we are today, returning glory and honor, praise and adoration for you, for everything that you mean to us in our lives. So take a moment to reflect on what does he mean to you as your Heavenly Father? Can you relate to him as like unto a God that has skin on him? Can you, you know, and don't think of him in some abstract form. Think of him as somebody that has some skin that's right there with you. We know his spirit, God is spirit, but, you know, if you connect with him in spirit, you can actually, you know, you can be right there with him. You can feel him. In him we live, in him we move, in him we have our being. Yeah, we don't need to feel him to know that he's there, but when you know that he's there, you will feel him. Hallelujah. Praise God. You feel his presence, you feel his loving hand. Hands around you. You feel his hand on your back and your head, comforting you. You feel him, carrying you up on his shoulder. That's all he does. That's what he does for us. Therefore, let's love him with all our heart today. We love you, Lord, and we give you all glory. We give you all praise. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. I say happy Father's Day to the Lord. It's my Father. I don't have any physical earthly father anymore. So I have one Father. So happy Father's Day, Father. May my heart, you know, and my life and my soul give you pleasure. Let it be your good pleasure. Hallelujah. And every voice that you hear out of me today, let it be a sweet, sweet thing in your ear. I love you, Lord. Hallelujah.